The three Mishnayos of this perek talk about utensils which are made up of many different parts, with a particular part of that large kli that is able to become tomei. And the question is, how many of the other parts are considered to be a yad, an extension of that part of the kli, to such an extent that it would be considered like the same kli, and therefore would also become tomei together with that kli? The previous Mishnah talked about a weaving machine. The woven part of the material is something that can become tomei, just like all items of clothing. And the Mishnah listed which parts of the weaving machine are considered to be connected to that woven part of the material. This Mishnah talks about the different parts of a plow, which is attached behind animals in the field. The animals walk and they drag behind them a plow, and the main part of the plow is a very sharp and strong metal blade that would dig into the ground and make a hole, a ditch. And metal can become tomei even if it's not able to hold and contain things. So the metal blade can certainly become tomei. The question is, how many of the other parts which are connected to this metal blade are considered to be an extension and a yad of that metal blade, and would thereby be able to become tomei, and would become tomei together with that metal blade? There is a diagram over here that shows the different parts of the plow and the animals which would pull the plow. Although it should be noted that not everything in this diagram is necessarily agreed upon, especially the positioning of certain parts of the plow. And the Mishnah says, Hanegeba oil, one who touches the wooden yoke which was on top of the animal's necks, it would cause the animals to go straight and continue walking and plowing. Uvakatrev, or if he touches the wooden piece on the side of the yoke that connects the yoke to the piece of wood which was underneath the necks of the animal. Bo'ayin, this is a kind of scarf or a piece of material that was soft and separated between the bottom of the animal's necks and this piece of wood that went underneath their necks in order to protect the animal. Uvo'avos, this is the long piece of wood that connected the yoke to the actual plow that was being dragged by the animals behind them. In a case where the metal blade became tomei and then somebody touched one of these aforementioned parts of the animals and the plow, even if he touches those pieces at the time that the animals are working and everything is connected and being used together, tahar, the person will remain pure, since those are not considered to be extensions of the metal blade itself. They're too far removed, and they are also not usually kept attached together forever, and therefore they are not considered to be the same kli, so they would not become tomei together with the metal blade. However, bacherev, if somebody touches the handle of the blade, uvaboyrech, this is a piece of wood that juts down out of the bottom of the plow at the back. The diagram shows that it appears to be a kind of spade. Some explain that seeds were placed inside of it, and the seeds would drop out slowly as the plow went forward. So the seeds would immediately be sown in the ground where the ditch had been created by the plow. Uvayotzol, this refers to the piece of curved wood that was attached to the plow and used for steering the plow. All of these are directly used together with the metal blade, and therefore they are considered to be an extension of the metal blade, which of course is the main part of the plow, and all of those parts would be an extension of the main part of the plow and be able to become tomei together with it. If somebody touches Ba'ayin Shel Mateches, the metal ring that connected the plow to the wooden beam that was attached to the yoke, Balachoyayim, this refers to the two strong and pretty sharp pieces of wood that were positioned at some point along the plow, it's not entirely clear where, and they would soften the ground, they would already start digging into the ground before the metal blade arrived at that area, in order to soften the soil slightly such that the plow would be able to dig deeper and more efficiently. Uva'aroyin, this had a similar function to the lechoyayin, just that this was only one piece of wood, and although the diagram implies that it was situated right next to the lechoyayin, it's more likely that it was situated right at the back of the plow, behind the metal blade, and its purpose was actually to soften any ground that the metal blade had not succeeded in digging through. If one touches any of these parts, once again, tomei, he would become tomei because they are also considered to be an extension of the metal blade. They assist in the same function of being able to create that ditch which the metal blade is used for creating. Rabbi Yehuda Matar Balechoyayim, Rabbi Yehuda says that the two pieces of strong and sharp wood that would soften the ground before the metal blade arrived there, he says that that cannot actually become tomei because it's not considered to be an extension of the metal blade itself. Even if that wouldn't be attached to the plow, the plowing procedure is able to run and be performed. It's just that the purpose of these two wooden pieces is in order to increase the amount of earth which will be dug by the plow. But it's not so necessary, and indeed, unless the ground was pretty hard, they wouldn't usually even attach the lechayim to the plow. Only where necessary, and because of that, it's not considered to be a real part of that same utensil, so it would not become tomei together with the metal blade. Mishnah Gimel, the first half of this Mishnah talks about a unique kind of saw whose blade was pretty flexible, and the saw was made up of three different layers. As the diagram can show, there were two handles on either side of the blade, and further up on the handles was attached a piece of wood going from one handle to the other. That was for strengthening purposes, and above that, towards the top of the handle, of either handle, there was a string that went from one handle to the other, with a small vertical stick going from the string to the middle piece of wood, and according to how much that stick was twisted, they were able to tighten the string at the top and bring the handles closer to each other and be able to make sure that the blade at the bottom would be very tight and thereby cut to a better quality. Now, rope by itself cannot become tome, and the same goes for the pieces of wood. By itself, it can't become tome. The only part of this kli which would be able to become tome, despite not being able to hold and contain things, is indeed the primary part of the kli, which is the metal blade. The question is whether we consider the other parts of this saw to be considered an extension of the blade and assisting in its function, in which case those would also be able to become tome together with the blade. Hanager biad negeira, one who touches the handle on the side of the saw, of the blade, mekano mekan, on either side of the blade, tome, he would become tome, because the handle certainly is considered to be an extension of the blade itself. Bachut, if somebody touches the string at the top, uvamashicha, or the band, sometimes instead of there being a string at the top, going from one handle to the other, there would be more of a single band. The purpose was the same, again, to bring the handles slightly closer to each other and tighten them. But amma, or if somebody touches the wooden piece that went in the middle from one handle to the other, uvasnifin, or if he touched this vertical, smaller stick that went from the string at the top to the wooden piece in the middle, all of these parts are not considered to be an extension of the blade itself. They really assist in the handles helping the blade cut, but it's less directly assisting in the function of the blade. And in addition, they were not really attached in a permanent way, and it looks pretty clear that it's only a temporary attachment and connection, and as such, they would not become tomei together with the blade. Likewise, b'machbeis shel chorosh, a wood presser, which is used by a carpenter to flatten pieces of wood which are slightly bent or curved, there would be a large metal screw attached at the top of this machine that basically consisted of two heavy wooden boards that via the screw would be brought very close to each other and pressed towards each other, and the bent piece of wood would be placed in between those two boards, and essentially that would be squashed and pressed until it was straightened. The Mishnah is telling us that if somebody touches the wooden part, it's not considered to be assisting in the function of the screw. The screw carries out its own function as part of this utensil, and therefore those cannot be considered to be an extension of the metal. So even though the metal can become tome, the wood would not become tome together with it. Uva kashtonis, if somebody touches the curved piece of wood that served as the handle of the old kind of drill, this wasn't electric, of course, it was just shaped in a way that allowed one to be able to twist that screw in order to get it into a piece of wood or into the wall. And this curved piece of wood was essentially the handle onto which you would hold whilst twisting this piece of metal. And once again, it's not connected to the piece of metal in a permanent manner, and therefore we're not able to consider it totally secondary to the metal, so even though the metal can become tome, the wooden handle wouldn't become tome together with it. That's what the Mishnah says. Tahar, all of these parts of the kli would remain pure. Rabbi Huda says, even somebody who touches the wooden frame which was attached to a massive saw, as the diagram can show, multiple people would hold on to this gigantic wooden frame which surrounded the huge saw. And according to Yehuda, one who touches the surrounding wooden frame, tahar, would remain pure, because although all of that is needed for using the saw, and that's how the saw is able to cut, by people holding on to this wooden frame and moving the saw from side to side, nevertheless, because it wasn't always kept attached to the saw and it would be taken off, and one could also argue that it's really assisting the handle which was right next to the saw for that to be able to help the blade to cut. It's sort of less directly as part of the actual blade's cutting. And because of those two reasons, Rabbi Huda says that one who touches the wooden part would not become Tomei, because it's not considered to be the same kli as the metal blade. The first opinion of the Mishnah argues against Rabbi Huda and holds that it would become Tomei together with the blade. Now the Mishnah talks about a bow and arrow. The arrow we're talking about is a metal arrow, which therefore can become Tomei, because metal doesn't need to be able to have a container or hold things for it to become Tomei. And the question is whether one who touches the string of this bow, uvakeshes, where he touches the bow itself, but he doesn't touch the arrow, avabishimasucha, even if the string has been stretched backwards and it has the arrow on it, if he doesn't touch the actual arrow, toho, he would remain pure, because once again, they aren't connected, they aren't actually attached and part of the same kli. You have the bow and you have the arrow. Of course, they are used together, but they aren't considered to be the same kli. So even though the arrow can become Tomei, the bow and the string would not be able to become Tomei. Metzudas or Ishus, a mole trap, which actually consists of an arrow that kills the mole, a mini arrow attached to a string, and in this case it was actually attached to the trap. But nevertheless, it wasn't attached permanently, and because of that, Tahira, one who touches the wooden part, would not become Tomei, and in fact, even the arrow, which is made of metal, cannot become Tomei, because this doesn't have the appearance and the characteristics of a kli. It's not considered to be significant enough. It's much more of a makeshift trap, which is temporary by its very nature, and therefore it lacks the significance to have the status of a kli that can become Tomei. However, Rabbi Yehuda once again argues, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol zman shimasucha, as long as it is stretched out on the string, meaning for as long as the arrow is attached to the trap, chibur, it is considered to be that the trap is attached to the arrow, it's all one kli, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it also has enough significance for it to become Tomei, since we view it all as one trap and one kli, and although the arrow is taken out of the trap once the mole is dead, so it's not really fixed to the trap, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it is fixed to the trap, if at that time a source of impurity touches the metal arrow, all of it will become Tomei, and somebody who touches even the wooden part will become Tomei. As long as, of course, it became Tomei with a level of an Av HaTumah, a primary level of Tumah that can make a person impure. There are certain wooden kalim that, although they are not able to hold or contain things because they are flat, midrabbanan, they're able to become tomei because they have the form of a utensil. That is to say that they are such items that are used very often and fulfill very significant and common functions and are considered to be very significant items, just that they lack that particular condition of being able to hold and contain things. One such example is a table. Although a wooden table is essentially a flat piece of wood at the top, it can't contain any things and hold, but it does hold the food on top of it, just that it hasn't got a rim around it. So a jabbonon, at least, it can become tomei. Hashulchan v'adulpaki, a regular table from which one eats, and a dulpaki is a smaller side table on which the food and drink were placed, and then they were brought from there to the main table when they would actually eat from the food. Shenifchasu, if part of the table breaks, a shechipon b'shayish, or if somebody covered part of the table with marble, if the entire table would be covered with marble is a type of stone that cannot become tomei. So that would stop the table from being able to become Tomei. Stone can never ever become Tomei. Even Midrabanan. Only wooden flat items did the Rabanan say can become Tomei. But stone, which is a material that can never become Tomei Midoraisa, Midrabanan also, they did not decree on it any level of impurity. But in this case, Vashir Bohem Kremanochas HaKaisais, he left enough room of the table uncovered, just with the wood there, without the marble, enough room to place down the cups from which they would drink. In that case, Tomeim, the tables are still able to become Tomei, because they still do fulfill part of their original function as tables. Rabbi Huda says, Mekoyim HaNochas HaTichos, Samish Nais read, Af Mekoyim HaNochas HaTichos, that there must be enough part of the table which has not been covered with marble to hold not only the cups, but also enough room to place pieces of meat and other small items of food, because the purpose of these tables is to hold both food and drink. So it would only be able to become Tomei if it can fulfill all of that original function, at least to a certain degree. Mishnah Beis HaShulchan, a table that consists of three legs, Shenitlo Achas Miraglov, that one of its legs was taken off. Tohar, that table can no longer become Tomei even Midrabanan, because it can no longer be used as a table, it won't balance. Nitlo Shnia, if the second leg gets taken off, then obviously Tohar, it would also not be able to become Tomei. Nitlo Ashlishis, but interestingly, if the third leg also comes off, then Tomei, it can once again become Tomei, because now it is actually useful as a tray on which food can be placed. That having been said, since until the third leg was taken off, it was not considered a kli, and it could not become Tomei, it would only gain the status of a kli that can become Tomei, kishayachshev olav, once the owner of that item thinks and he has the intention to use it for that purpose. But without doing so, it can't just become a kli without that intention. However, Rabbi Yosef says, Ein tzarich machshava, in this particular scenario, there is no need for him to have the intent to use it as a tray. Because the general function of a tray is extremely similar to the function of a table, to hold the food. So we view it as a table that, or as an item that holds food that broke temporarily and couldn't be used for that. And now, once again, it can be used for the same original purpose of holding food. And therefore, there's no need for you to have that special intention to use it for that purpose. It now has its original purpose. So even if he doesn't have that explicit intention to use it as a tray, it would already be able to become Tomei. And the mission ends off, V'chein adulpaki, and the same applies to a smaller table that is used for holding the foods and drinks before they are brought to the main dining table. The same rules would apply over there with regards to the legs coming off.